Okay, welcome to Tanya Inside Out, G4 Tough Shin Pei Hei, Chapter 8, which is, we've called Gimel Klipas Timaeus. So we took a couple of weeks off, but if you remember, we'll just do a very quick recap. Chapter 1, we introduced the Nefesh HaBahamis, which is really the default perspective of a regular Jew. That's how you see the world. You see the world through the eyes of your human created soul. And to boil it down very quickly, is that soul is terrified of dying, terrified of not being. And that kind of aching discomfort of the fact that one day you're not going to be is driving that soul. Is driving that soul. And that actually is the soul's, on a very deep level, that is that soul's pursuit of pleasure. The pursuit of pleasure is really the pursuit of being. Yeah? So that's the animal soul. Okay? That's our job description. That's what we're here to fix. That's what we're here to deal with. The Rebbe says twice very explicitly that the neshama does not need any fixing whatsoever. The fixing is for the animal soul. That's why we're here, to fix our humanity. And we have a neshama that will aid us in fixing our humanity. Without the neshama, we wouldn't be able to fix, we wouldn't be able to do our job. Okay, so...
The rest of the world too, no?
What?
It's not just about us, it's
it's really the same thing. It's really the same thing. It's not, no difference at all. So the first chapter introduces the animal soul, and we learn that the whole MO of that soul is to have pleasure, or to it's more helpful to say it's desires to survive. So that's the desire to survive, meaning to be mischazik. To be mischazik itself. Yeah.
But it's how it takes. Because if the nefesh itself, the neshama, it's already perfect, then why be sent into the world
to fix this? This we have two souls. We have the nefesh of the kis, and we have the nefesh of Bahamas.
Right.
So the nefesh of Bahamas is what we're here to fix. The nefesh of the kis is
before we come down to the world. Do you have both? Or you only have the nefesh b'hamis when you come into this world?
I don't know what it looks like before you come down to the world. I mean, I'm not being facetious. I mean, like it's complicated. Like there's also the nefesh. Really, you're the nefesh maskeles. Like you're the nefesh maskeles could be understood as the place where the fight between the nefesh b'hamis and the nefesh b'kis takes place. So there's the intelligent soul, which is also shayach to the umos ha'olam. So that's like your I don't know if it's your sense of self, or if it's your consciousness. I don't know. But the basic idea is that there's this, bless you. There's a car. Yeah, you're the car. Okay, and you have two souls fighting for the driver's seat. You have the nefesh of Bahamas and the nefesh of Kis. So it's a fight over the keys for the car. And that means, that's like a cute moshul, but in the actual, how it really is, the way I understand it, is that that means that you, the fight is between who you identify with. Are you identifying with the Nefesh of Bahamas? Or are you identifying with the Nefesh of the keys? If you identify with the Nefesh of Bahamas, the Nefesh of the keys goes into Galus. She doesn't get to express herself, so she's like put in a deep, dark, cold, wet dungeon.
So we come down to the world. If you only had the nefesh elokis, then that wouldn't.
You couldn't.
No way.
You couldn't do that. Couldn't be.
Right, but there would be also like you need the nefesh hamas to overcome that to prove that you're allowing the nefesh elokis to be the driver.
Well,
if there wasn't a conversation about who's going to be driving the car.
Yeah, it's a bit more. It's a little bit more. A little bit more nuanced than that because. The Nefesh of the Kis can't drive the car without the Nefesh of Bahamas. It's like the Nefesh of the Kis is the interface between the body and the Nefesh. Sorry, the Nefesh of Bahamas is the interface between the Nefesh of the Kis and the goof. The goof is kulu gashmi. The nefesh lekis is, even says ruchni let's just say it's ruchni, to make it easier. The nefesh lekis is ruchni, the goof is gashmi. So because the nefesh lekis is so ruchni, how do a goof and a nefesh lekis, they're not compatible with each other, bichla. That's really what we're going to talk about today, actually. Because they're not compatible, they needs to be an interface. That interface is called the nefesh bahamis. The nefesh bahamis is it ruchni? Yes. Is it gashmi? Yes. It's the most gashmius ruchnius, or it's the most ruchnius gashmius. It's the highest level of the gashmius and the lowest level of the ruchnius. So that is the place. So really, it's not that the nefesh of a kis is poil the goof. The nefesh of a kis doesn't actually move the goof. The nefesh of a kis becomes enclosed within the nefesh of Bahamas, and it can move the nefesh of Bahamas, and the nefesh of Bahamas is actually compatible with the goof, and therefore now the nefesh of a kis can move the goof, but derech nefesh of Bahamas. And when the nefesh of a kis is moving the goof, derech nefesh of Bahamas, everything's getting fixed. The nefesh Baham is getting fixed, the goof is getting fixed, all the things that you're in touch with is all getting fixed. If the nefesh Baham is steals the show, now the nefesh Baham is doesn't need the neshama, the nefesh Akis to be pulled the goof. So what happens to the nefesh Akis? He opens up a cell, he pushes her in, he closes the cell, and she sits there and cries. And he does his thing. So it's an interesting dynamic. The nefesh of a kis needs to use the nefesh of Bahamas. But the nefesh of Bahamas doesn't want anything to do with the nefesh of a kis. So that's the way. But now that your question is, who do you? You're none of that. You're not a nefesh of Bahamas, you're not a nefesh of a kis. You are the space in which that exists, call it the mind, call it the consciousness. You either identify with the nefesh of Bahamas, you identify with the nefesh of a kis. That's called the struggle of being Jewish. See, the Umos Oilam don't have that. They don't have the Nefesh and the Kis. So all they can do at the highest level, and what they call enlightenment, is the disidentification from the Nefesh of Bahamas. And then what do they become?
Completely Gufani.
The what?
Completely Gufani.
No. I'm talking about what?
It's maskil, purely maskil. The intellectual being purely.
The basic way to understand it, just the most simple way of understanding it, is that's called enlightenment. That's called like Erkat Tolle or Gandhi or these Choshava Goyim who ascended from their sense of self. They weren't looking to get anything out of you. They were there to help. Stephen Covey, these elevated, if you Chassidei Umos HaOlam or Tzaddikei Umos HaOlam.
Marie Rilke.
What?
Rilke, the German poet.
Either way, if he's a good guy and he wasn't if he wasn't a selfish person, then that is the voider of the Umos HaOlam, is to become enlightened. Yeah, that's where our job begins. The enlightenment is that's where Avodas Hashem begins. Before that, it's a the avoider of the, we said it like this many times. There's a great book by Sri Nahagadatta Maharaj called I Am That.
I am that.
Yeah, it's heavy, but it's I'm happy I read it. I'm happy I read it.
In the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't think you can read these books outside the bathroom. But how I understand halakha. Shalom Aleichem. You're sitting with us today. So you just. You're with us.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you just walked in for, we're just starting a new thing here. So this Goyish book from a enlightened maybe from an enlightened human, yeah, he called it, he called this book, I Am That. And if you realize, if you read through it, he wrote I Am That, yeah? The avoider that he outlined is moving from I Am That to I Am. So the unenlightened human being says, I am that. The enlightened human being says, I am. He doesn't finish the sentence. What does the Jew say? If you go along that. What?
I am nothing.
That's I am.
I am.
I am yours. I am yours with the capital Y.
I am yours.
I am within you. I am
I belong to you, Rabbi Shalom. I'm yours.
That's why we're doing the first part, right? The Chelik Olakam Imam Manash.
That's the second part.
That's the first line of the second part.
Yeah.
But I am.
Meaning I am. So that's the, who's the I? The I is the Nefesh HaMaskelis. The I is the place in which this battle's raging. So now I am that is the Nefesh. But also don't forget that the Nefesh HaBahamis, if a person identifies with the Nefesh HaBahamis, yeah, the Nefesh HaBahamis is constantly identifying with other stuff. That's one of the things he does. That's what the ego does, yeah? That's why everyone identifies with stuff. It's like if you watch the news now, yeah, on listen to what people are saying about Israel, yeah? It's unbelievable. You've got only black and white. I haven't heard anyone say, maybe Jordan Peterson would, yeah, but I haven't listened to one. But I haven't heard anyone say, it's Tucker complicated.
Nuanced.
This is a big support. This is a 75 years of history with a lot of stuff that's happened, yeah? No one's that. No one's like either Israel or Mom's genocidal, psychotic maniacs, or Hamas are genocidal, psychotic maniacs, and it's just tzaddikim and rishayim. Why is that? Because when you think about it, you have to.
In today's day and age, you cannot sell news unless it's extreme.
So why?
Because people identify with
the extreme. That's the point. People are identifying. You need to identify with X. You need to be able to clearly not identify with Y. They're too. That's why the ego is always creating machlokas. There's always machlokas with the ego, yeah?
That's why you also in public that everybody has that, but in private. Like when you speak to some of these people who are anti-Israeli in person, then all of a sudden they change when you talk to them directly. Oh, versus what they're saying screaming out loud. But because it's the ego, that makes sense.
Maybe this is new one. It's a big thing.
It's not nuanced. Right. It is extreme on both sides.
Well, yeah, but the ego is not nuanced. But the ego, the way the ego operates, can be very sophisticated. It's very deceptive. Like we think that the ego is just trying to be more. Yeah, wants to solidify its existence. Wants to survive. Yeah, but though the Hevra on October 7th were kulo ego. Yeah, and they were all prepared to give up their lives for their God. So where does that, how is that? What, they were being selfless? Well, of course not. So what is the ego? We've spoken about that a lot. I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm just saying, so it manifests, it can manifest in many different ways. But the point is that it's trying to solidify itself. So when somebody says, when a person is identified with the Nefesh HaBahamis, he says, I am that. It's not really that you identify with it. You identify with the Nefesh HaBahamis, but the Nefesh HaBahamis is constantly looking to identify with X, Y, and Z. Everything that he's doing, he turns it into his thing. That's the avoider of the ego. Yeah? So that's I am that. If you can ascend from that level, yeah, then you can get to the level of I am. Which means I'm not now identified with the things of this world. It's not a holy level, it's a very good level. That's the highest level of a human being. That's halavai, most of us would even get to that, yeah? Halavai, that would be great. That's I am. But the yid is meant to go weiter. First, you have to extract yourself from your identification with Nefesh HaBahamis, but now you have to re-identify with Nefesh HaKis. That's I am yours, Ribbono Shel Olam. That means that you belong to him. You're his. So why would you? That's the ultimate reframe. I belong to you. Like we've said many times, like the printer, you have your printer, yeah? You send the file to get printed and then nothing happens. And you come over on the little screen, yeah? There's a middle finger sticking up at you saying, when I feel like it, I'll get round to this. You throw the thing in the bin immediately. Buy a new printer.
Good old paper jam. There's no jam there, but it says, paper jam.
Yeah, okay. With a finger. Or like we said the other day, you're driving your car, you've got a 12-cylinder car, and it comes up on the dashboard, you're pushing your foot down, it's going slow. And it says, look, right now I'm going to give you 2 cylinders. Let me wake up first, let me pull myself, give me a cup of coffee, and then we'll reassess. Let's see where we're holding. Yeah? That's just not right. It doesn't take a big tzaddik to realize that you, not that you even belong to him, he's your creator. Everyone says he's your creator, yeah? Don't need a particularly big mind to realize that he created you. What, and you're going to not dedicate yourself to him absolutely? Imagine any of the things that you own. And when your children are chutzpahdik, yeah? If you've got children and they're chutzpahdik, you feel that kind of, that injustice. It's just not right. It's just not right. Your kids should treat you like that. Look at, you know. So that's the mindset. That's,
yeah, but your kids don't give up their lives for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your kids need to respect you. They don't need to, what's the word you were saying?
But you, okay.
To give,
you're right, because you're right. They don't. Yeah, but they're your kids.
Yeah.
But the truth is that they should. That should be their mindset. Yeah, but your parent, as a parent, as a healthy parent, you want them to become the ultimate version of themselves as well, and that's a lot to do with the Rebbeinu Shlomo as well.
We're also human in the end. I mean, sometimes we want things for our children, and we mean well, but we do.
Say it. I don't want to get caught up
silly,
into the mushroom.
Example, but my cat tries to scratch my eyeballs out all the time. I'm just like, you're living the best life. I took you from the street. What are you? Why?
That's
why are you causing trouble here? Yeah, it's like you're living the best life.
Same thing.
But anyway, the point is that you are a creation, but that's I am, that's the level of the Jew, the level that the Jew can get to is where not I am yours, meaning that, see, that is being Mekadosh, your ultimate sense of I. That sense of I, yeah, belongs to you, Rabbeinu Shloilem. My sense of self is yours. Do you understand? Are you appreciating that?
The sense of self.
The fact that you're, I can't think of another way of saying it. You're.
It's like an Eved that's mevatel himself completely.
It's what?
It's like an Eved that's completely mevatel himself for the master.
It's an Eved that has the ability to be mevatel himself to the master.
It's like an Eved and a son. It's the two. It's
come on, my God,
right? We're gonna say that. Sounds like
the thing with
but it's the sense that he can even do that.
Even the sense who you are, you reach love, but even that sense doesn't belong to you. You give it to Hashem. When you reach that high level of I am this,
it's not your sense of who you are. It's your sense of it's that part. You can't call it a part of you. It's you that. It's the you that can feel. It's the just. This isn't really correct, but it will help us. Yeah. Are you your thinking?
No.
You're not your thoughts. You're the one who thinks. Yeah. It's like giving, but this is on a lower level. So there's you, and then there's your thinking. Yeah. Everyone appreciates that?
Is there though? Because without your thoughts, then what are you? Okay,
without your thoughts, you're mamash kiboldik. Your biggest problem is your thinking. Mamash, if you're a normal person. But anyway, but you're the one who thinks. Yeah, thinking is called a behavior. It's a levush. That's what it means. It's you. So you think. Yeah? Not you are the thinking. Most people think they're the thinking. Whatever they're thinking, that's them. So a suicidal thought flits through their mind. They wouldn't say, oh, I had a suicidal thought. They would say, I am suicidal. Yeah, or they're angry. When a person's angry, they would never say, I have anger in me. They will say, I'm angry. The person and the experience get mixed up with each other. Yeah, we have to try and get out of that. That takes a lot of learning and practice and discussing.
That's what trauma is, right? When you become the emotion, that's how it acts, not what it is with that.
Yeah, let's not go there. Okay. So, yeah. it's a good thought. But if you go deep, if you say, I'm the one who thinks, where's the space of that I? That I is taking place somewhere. That's what we're giving. We're giving the space in which the I can develop that could become entangled in thinking. That's what the Jews giving through Buddhism.
The I goes to Hashem before the am, right? So
I am yours. The I is the I.
I am this or that, but no. But you're trying to put the I back.
The I is the foundation of. You can't even talk about. You can't even say it's anything personal. It's what becomes personal. It's the space. That's what the Jew, if she learns deeply enough and is connected to the right people and then is involved in Torah mitzvahs in the right way, can actually give to the Bona Shreyan. Yeah, that's... Okay, we went a little bit off topic there, but let's try and move back. Okay, so we introduced the Nefesh HaBahamis. Shalom Aleichem. We introduced the Nefesh HaBahamis, which is, on the most simple level, is scared stiff of dying, and that is generating all of our behavior, thought, speech, and action, and our emotions as well, etc. Okay, and that is that doesn't care about God. That doesn't care about the agenda of reality. It cares about its own agenda. It doesn't mean it's doing bad stuff. It depends on where you grow up and what kind of teachers you had and what kind of experiences you had. It could be horrible. It could be very nice. It really could be very nice. Yeah. That's the Nefesh HaBahamis. Okay, the Nefesh HaKis we introduced in chapter 2, which is a Chelek HaLekai Mimal. Yeah, it has it's the essence of it is Hashem Himself, the essence. But it has a lot of creation to it, yeah, but it's a very, very high Ruchnius creation. But the very essence of it is not creation, is not of creation. So now a Jew is a human being who has a Nefesh HaKis, which means he's shaykh to the Bria and he's shaykh to the Boire. And that's why everything is dependent on the Yidden, because the Yidden are the force in the world that are mechaber the Boire to the Bria, the creator to the creation. That's Yizit. That's us. That's Am Yisrael. Yeah, if you want to talk that in terms of in Kabbalah, that is the yichud of the vav and the hay. That's called the yichud of Zoin. Yeah, Ze'ampin and Nuk. Yeah, or Yisrael and Rochel, or Ze'ampin and Malchus, or Vat and Malchus, or Torah and Am Yisrael, or Kuchabrichu, Shchinte. All of that stuff is exactly, it's just different words for the exact same thing we're talking about. That is connecting the lowest level of the creator to the highest level of the Bria. And that's what Am Yisrael is. Yeah, that's what mitzvahs are. That's what Lashon Tzavtza is, connection. Everyone says, oh, this is how you get connected to God. Yeah? That's so babyish. Yeah? Forget you. That's how created reality becomes bound up in reality. That's how MS with a little aleph becomes bound up in MS like Amitoy. And here you are thinking about you having some kind of connection with God. Yeah? Anyway, that's my own pet peeve.
Because you're part, you're created by him, you're still connected. So what do you mean? How do you connect? Is that what you mean?
No.
Like, how do you say how you connect with God? Because you're already so part of it?
Connect to the mitzvahs.
I'm just saying, who cares?
The fact part of that, that's what you are. You're not. There is no I.
You're. What is Am Yisrael? What's the koyach of Am Yisrael? What's Am Yisrael here to do? We're called an Am Kasha Oref. Why was that? What's the name Am Kasha Oref? Yeah, Am Kasha Oref is the...
Hard.
Huh? Well, what's Amalek? Amalek is they put their Yad Al Kes Ka. Yeah, the Yud and the Hay. Amalek is Loshan Am Malak. Loshan Malika. Malika is in the base of Mikdash with the, when you sever the neck of the chata, of the bird, the oiler and the chata. So Amalek is Am Malak. They're the nation that does Malika. They split the Yud and the Hay is the head and the Vav and the Hay is the goof. So Amalek Amalek is Loshan Suffolk, yeah? Is Gematria Suffolk, which is also Loshan Psak, Hefsek. They're Mafsik. They make a separation between the head and the goof. Yeah? Am Yisrael is the Am Kasha Oref. We're the Koyach in the Bria that are Mechaber, the Yud and the Hay to the Vav and the Hay. That's Shema Zeshem Hashem Echot. You can talk about it. Everywhere, all over Torah, it's the same.
That's what goes to fight.
Yeah, Bidyuk, when Moshe's neck, all of this stuff, all of that. That's the Inyan, the base of Migdash is the neck, and Yaakov and Yosef and Benjamin on each other's necks, and that's the whole Inyan of the neck. Yeah, the whole avoid is being Mechabe, the Boire, which is the Yud and the Hay, so to speak, to the Vav and the Kei, which is that's the void of Am Yisrael. So we're the Am Kasha Oref that is the stiff neck that is the chibur between the creator and the creation. So back to your question, what about my kesher to Rabbeinu Shlomo? Well, who cares so much? You know what I'm saying? That's the point, is when you can, I know no one says this, we always talk about feeling out, you have to have this, if you can let go of that, this is the crazy thing, because the experiences that we're here, there's lots of experiences available in this world, but they're not for you, they're for you to elevate, they're for him. Kozman, I'm stuck in this nourishkeit of satisfying my own, no matter how hailing it appears, No matter how heilig and cool it feels, you're here to be mechaber kodesh abrich of shchinta. That's what Am Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is shchina. Yeah, the source of Am Yisrael, the source of Nishmas Yisrael is called the shchina. That's Knesset Yisrael, and the Torah is kodesh abrich. And by us doing Torah mitzvahs, we bind the whole thing: the yud and the kei, and the vav and the kei. That's what should be in the front of our mind, your own personal experience and stuff like that. Like you have to play the game, meaning you've got a goof and you've got an ego and, but at least try to work to get out of that, Everyone's with me? Yeah? So this whole thing, and you know what the real irony is, I've said this so many times, the real irony is when you can let go of this need for experience and all these needs, then Hashem starts giving you these experiences. But it's to elevate. It's in my mind, people talk about these, these very deep, psychedelic experiences that I have had, and I understand what people are talking about. Did I tell you this story about my mushroom?
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, you remember. I'll tell you a private story about my, about a few, I can't remember how long ago now it was. Year or two ago, I have no idea. Wasn't long ago. It wasn't that long. I decided. So I'm walking just as I'm going to say this. So I decided to. I wanted to. I hadn't tripped for many years, and I decided I was going to do whatever. I did it in a control. I wanted to take psilocybin, magic mushrooms, in a very controlled environment. I told my wife, I told my oldest children. It was Friday morning doing this thing, don't really know what it's about, but it was a very controlled project, and so I tried it a month or so earlier, and it was horrible. I ended up with this horrible stomach ache, and it was just rubbish, It was terrible. So I went online and I worked out exactly how to. I made sure I got, you know, double the amount that whatever. But kids, I overdosed. And I did the lemon juice thing, and I did everything like to the T. I followed the instructions perfectly, yeah? And I overdosed on psilocybin. And it was mama's wacky. And I'm like in a good place, Baruch Hashem, like emotionally and everything. So I was like kind of laughing at myself, what I was putting myself through, yeah? It was the most, it was the most experience that you could have. I don't believe there could have been more experience. Yeah, it was so experiential that I remember I had a watch in front of me. I'd put my head down and go through whatever. I'd lift my head back up. I felt I'd been gone for like half an hour, and it was like 5 seconds. That was how intense it was. Yeah. Now, what it was, the actual, I don't want to sit here and try and describe the trip, but it was like I was like underground with like, you know, like massive insects, like fat, not like big maggots and like horrible things, you know, with this music, like kaboom, kaboom. I said the sounds were like, if you took a giant, you ever seen those like the queen ant? It doesn't look like an ant at all, it looks like a massive maggot, yeah? Like a big pulsating, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Especially on shrooms.
Take a giant one, the size of this room, yeah, like disgusting in every way possible, yeah, and then turn it into music. That was what I was hearing, yeah. And I'm with the whole underground chevra with drums and marching through the underground, you know, and it was horrible. It was really horrible. And I'm like laughing at myself, thinking, Diamond, look what you put yourself, it's ridiculous, yeah? And I went through, the actual trip must have lasted around 3-4 hours. And my wife called me the minute that I was literally just able to speak on the telephone, yeah? She called me like that minute. And I was like, she's like, how was it? I was like, it's been a waste of time. It's a ridiculous waste of time and money, and you know. And it took me another couple of hours. I couldn't drive the whole day. It took me like to come back. It was Shabbos. That night was Shabbos. And I realized just before Shabbos what happened. What would I have said if instead of me going into the underground and the mud and the maggots, yeah, if I went into Shemayim with the clouds and the angels and the harps?
It's
all just the same thing. Just a different soundtrack. You understand? It's all just experience. That's what it is. All just experience.
It depends.
I think that is. I think perception is the. Experience.
It depends where it takes you afterwards. Okay, after this trip, you didn't really take anything from it that's valuable in your life. You can do any avoda.
That's the point.
The harsh, you say, okay, something I really want to get closer. I'm doing my avoda better. I'm going to get up earlier. I'm going to work myself better.
That's like exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in that sense,
exercise is wrong. You hurt yourself. You think it's the same exercise when you do it right.
But
what
is the exercise choshev?
Except itself, no.
No, that's the point. So the experience itself, as well, is not choshev. The experience itself is if it's going to help you be oivid better. That's the point.
But even though you went down as opposed to going up, isn't that indicative that maybe your headspace before going into it was what allowed you to go down?
Okay, like there's the, what do they call it, set and setting. Yeah, set and setting of acid.
Right, so the question is that you could have gone either way when you took it.
Yeah, but that, I'm trying to say it's irrelevant.
There, maybe that proves that maybe something was wrong before also that you need to improve upon.
The experience itself, there's nothing anywhere.
This is the point is, I agree with you 100%, but what I'm trying to say is that we're chasing experience, yeah? But the only reason why you should be chasing an experience is because it will help you serve better. But Shachris is an experience that you're meant to have. That's the mitzvah of Shachris, is to actually have an experience of Shachris. That's the mitzvah. So it's not that it has any intrinsic value. There's no intrinsic value to experience unto itself. It's because it's kashur to mitzvah. The only thing that has chashivus is mitzvah. That's it. Because it's mitzvah that's causing the yichud of kudsha bricha shchinte. So if you're having, I had this, it's a funny story. This guy called me up and took DMT, yeah? And he said, he described the whole thing to me, you know, like infinite love, and, you know, his heart exploded and white and light, and I, you know, everyone says. And he cried for like 3 weeks. He said by Kriya Shema, he literally cried floods of tears for 3 weeks. And that was when I spoke to him, so it could have gone on for longer, yeah?
Because it happened to him 3 weeks. Because he wasn't getting to the level. Well, because after the DMT, because he wasn't
up to it. From the experience of the DMT, it did something to him in such a way that now every time he went to Kriya Shema, he just poured his eyes out in tears. Let me ask you a question.
Kavana or not?
Well,
through the Kavana, now that he
re-experiencing the Yichud, let's say. Right. Yeah?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But let me ask you a question, yeah? Because of his tears, he sometimes missed the word Yisrael. So it was like Shema, Shem Lekein Shem Echad. What happened there?
That's the Tashi Rebbe.
Well, he wasn't Mekayim Mitzvah's Kriya Shema. Or because of this, because of the tears, yeah, he ended up missing the second Zman Kriya Shema. So before Matan Torah, there was an Indian of the Maisa was very secondary, and the Avoider was a Ruchnias Avoider. But by Matan Torah, things turned around where the actual physical mitzvah became Ikka. Even to say Ikka is, you can say Ikka, and the Kavana became Tofu.
But that guy's trip put him somewhere where Tzaddikim spend 80 years of their life trying to get to, and when they get there, then it's okay.
No, this is the point.
Like the way Rav Kook taught him.
Yeah, but you need a foundation first.
Wait, but no. This is a really important thing. This is a really important thing. The way I understand it, yeah, is what you just said is a terrible. It's really dangerous, and everyone says this. I mean,
about the experience.
Everyone says
no. I'm not saying how strong they should do that instead of that. I'm just saying
you're saying that Tzaddikim are trying to get to
the Shema Yisrael, the Kavana, and the experience that you're having in the Shema Yisrael. What is that? So is why by Rav Kook? Rav Kook davening 9 hours, way past Zman, or whatever it is, depending on the day, and then it's Kavana and his emotion, how it left him, right? Why is that?
I can't answer the Tzaddikim. I don't know, but I know that there's
the halachas. That's a goal, is to get to a place of bittul of like where your neshama is davening to Hashem, not even you, and like it's just
the ultimate level of bittul is doing the mitzvah, lefi the halacha. That is the binary. It's binary. There's no you there, bichlal. There is no you there. You merge, like we said many times. It's not like you do a mitzvah. You become a chelik of the mitzvah. The kavanas, and if you look at it's a very important thing to talk about, but it would take a whole shiur to go into this. But the trying to say on one leg, it's not going to mean much anyway. But the generation that we're in, where the experience of the mitzvah has become so elusive, yeah, is the kavana shemayim. Because now we can actually serve Hashem on the ultimate level, which is lishma, beyond the experience. Not getting the perfection of the mitzvah isn't muddied by our own pleasure in the mitzvah. That's a schus that we have, that Hashem has fudged the world. Like I went to, you know Daniel Katz, Rabbi Katz, yeah? See, he does this thing in Tulum. I went to this one in Tulum, his meditation thing, yeah? And people having real spiritual experiences. But look at what they needed. Look what they needed to have those experiences. They needed to schlep to Tulum, yeah, to have Rabbi Katz create an entire, you know, $500,000 matzav. Yeah, no kids running around. Yeah, the perfect music. Yeah, the whole thing. And then people are having some experiences. Wait, well, what about me at my Hanukkah licht? Yeah, when my kid smashes his head on the floor because he trips on the oil, and then because as he fell, he knocked the other kid's menorah over. So that now the curtain's on fire. Now you've got the kid makes a nappy, a diaper, as you're doing the whole thing. Yeah, and you're like, all of a sudden, I was looking forward to having this experience with my with the Rabbeinu Shlomo and my neighbors, and it's like all I'm dealing with now is just trying to like stay sane and not beat up my wife, you know. But the whole world is like that. We're so distracted now. You think that davening is easier now that you have these stupid devices in your pocket? And that, things are so... People, do you know what kind of jobs people were doing 100, 150 years ago compared to how much geschmack? Like the idea of job satisfaction, that's like a modern phenomenon. There was never a thought of job satisfaction 100, 150 years ago. You got a job, Baruch Hashem.
Do a job.
Yeah, you do it, yeah. You shut up and do it. Now it's like, I need to feel like, you know, this is crazy. It's not crazy, it's all b'kavana. It's all b'kavana. But now we're at this place where if we can just stop trying to do it for the experience, yeah, and start serving the Rabbeinu Shloim, why am I doing the mitzvah? I don't know why I'm doing the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Rabbeinu Shloim wants me to do this mitzvah. When I'm like David and Melech with dumb needle all over my hands, yeah, dealing with whatever I'm dealing with, or whether I'm in Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, with my eyes rolled back into my head, feeling like I've merged with Matat, or whatever you want to do, yeah? That's irrelevant. That's so secondary to the whole thing. Rabbeinu Shlom, you need me to fast, or you need me to eat? It depends. If it's Purim, he needs you to eat and drink. If it's Yom Kippur, he needs you to fast and have that big experience. But it's not about the experience. It's about the Rabbeinu Shloim. You with me? And that's what marriage is as well. Marriage is not about me being a good husband. It's not even about, like, that's the point. It's not about me being a good Jew. It's about him, Yisburach. It's not about me checking off the boxes that I'm doing all the things that I need to be doing to be a good husband. It's about my wife. Because the minute it's about you checking off the boxes that you're being a good husband, the wife becomes interchangeable with any other woman. You can just switch her out because it's about you being a good husband. That's why tshuva, we're coming back to Elul now. What's tshuva? Tshuva's not this cathartic, return to innocence of I could be so much more, yeah? That's just the return to innocence is a nice fringe benefit. Tshuva is a realignment with understanding that you exist in context of the Rabbeinu Shloim. Realigning the fact that I'm not, it's not about me, it's about you, Yisbach. It's not about me being holy, it's about you being served. And you realize if you're Zoicha to get there, which is not, it's not elusive for us. I guarantee you, in our generations, we're so ready. We're so ready for Lishma. It's unbelievable. Yeah? Because why? Because we don't care about pleasure anymore. We might still be addicted to it, but we have graduated from pleasure. That sounds weird, yeah? I'll explain. Now, I know a lot of very wealthy people. I don't know what. Well, I shouldn't have done that, but I met a lot of other people. I have a lot of friends who are very, very wealthy, and you can talk to them, and you'll know I'm not wealthy, yeah? I mean, I don't have a lot of money. You speak to them, and you realize very quickly that money does not answer up any important questions. It doesn't get you anything important, meaning these people have still got miserable marriages, or they could have miserable marriages. Yeah, they can have issues with their kids, they can have issues with their health, they can have complicated situations in the community, etc., yeah? And money doesn't help with those things. In a lot of cases, money can... So you can't say... So a rich guy, I'm not saying you don't want to have money, it's nice to have money, but a rich guy is not deluded into thinking that all his problems are... He knows that money doesn't answer all the problems. He's still got to deal with his wife, you know? That's not going to be answered by money. Whereas poor people can be deluded into thinking that when they get money, everything's going to be okay. That's the entire problem. So we're like that with pleasure. Do you know what kind of the fact that we have this thing with the mazgan now, yeah? We have to turn it off and we have to turn it on, yeah? You know that we have the we're sitting in comfortable chairs, yeah? We've got a real floor underneath us. I've got a hot drink, I've got a cold drink, yeah? Do you realise that that's a modern day thing? Like it was never so set up like anything like that. The fact that you have so much pleasure, the fact that you can have hot food whenever you want, yeah? You don't have to sit there and make a little fire, yeah? The fact that you've got electricity and you've got cold air and warm air and light and all this kind of stuff, your life has become so, we take it for granted, your life has just become so comfortable, yeah? Well now, how much more pleasure do you want? When is the pleasure going to make it when's that going to be enough? You're like, I know that it's not about pleasure anymore. People didn't know that in previous generations. We're like the rich people now who you can't delude them into thinking, and it is, as long as you think about it for a minute, more pleasure, like more, more sex, more money, you know, more food, a more delicious burger, yeah, a fancier car, a quicker car. Oh, then now we move to the aeroplane, yeah, now you got the, and you keep, well, leave it alone, man. You look at the guy on the yacht for a minute, and you're like, yeah, and you're like, wow, I love you. Think about it for a minute. It'd be nice to go out to the sea for a day or two. That'd be lovely, yeah, but...
Can't go on a robot anymore.
Why?
Once you go first class, you've never seen an economy. It's good for life. You've changed your
That's
your
why
needs.
I don't fly first class.
I love the I love
it. Used to be awesome.
Rich people. I've heard this.
Canoe used to be awesome.
What used to be awesome?
A canoe used to be awesome.
Yeah, but now people are going back to basics. Like if you look at the the videos, what are trending? The videos that sell things on TikTok and all that kind of stuff. They are ghetto handheld videos. They're not the fancy polished kinds of things anymore. That's how it works. That's what engages people now. It's like we're ready to graduate from the delusion that pleasure is choshev. You understand? That's a massive thing.
You mentioned the pleasure of getting gout on the camping trip.
The pain.
To maximize it into a pleasurable moment. You spoke about
pleasure,
this,
not
that's
pleasure.
Not,
I
well,
mean,
you took an event that could have been, that was supposed to be pleasurable, went into pain, but from the pain you took out something that was valuable.
Yeah, okay, and how do you do that? By accepting that right now the Bodenschlund wants to go through intense pain. As I thought I was going on this like really cool camping trip with my family, and it turned out that I was going through a handle pain, you know, a week-long handle pain situation. And my family had to deal with that as well. So then the acceptance of that this the accept again, and this is the point. If you're connected to the experience, you can't accept that. If you're connected to the place in which the experience takes place, then you can accept that. And that's like with a relationship with a man with his wife, yeah? You have ups and downs, yeah? It's hard, a relationship's hard. Sometimes you might hate your wife more than anyone else in the whole world, yeah? Sometimes you are deeply in love, hopefully more than anything you're deeply in love with her, yeah? But you're in an intimate relationship. Kozman, you're stuck in the actual experience of the relationship, yeah? It's a roller coaster. The avoider of the marriage is getting connected to the binary marriage. Understand what I mean by binary marriage?
Married or not.
Yeah, that's it. Hurry up, Mukudeshasli. You're married, you're not married. There's an Indian of a Suffolk marriage, okay? But there's not Madragas in marriage. But there's not Madragas in being. You are or you aren't. That's the Indian of the mitzvah. That's the Indian of the halach of the mitzvah. It is or it isn't. There's no Madragas in the Maisa mitzvah. There's the Bidyevid, but that's not a Madraga, meaning there is, we call it Madragas of Hidda mitzvah, etc., yeah? But the Bidyevid mitzvah is the mitzvah. Now we can add Hidurim onto it, yeah? But it's not that there's Madragas in the Kiyam of the mitzvah. There's no Madragas in Kiyam, you with me? So Kol Zman, that we're caught up in the experience, which is called the Chai, that's Chai V'Kayom, yeah, or Shem and Etzem. But Kol Zman, by the way, the Milui of Shem V'Etzem is the same as the Milui of Chai V'Kayom. Yeah, it's the same million. So that's why we're doing that. Mm-hmm. But the Kiyam is always binary. The Kiyam HaMitzvah, Kavanah's a mitzvah, now that goes on forever. Who could put a mezuzah up on the door better, me or Moshe Rabbeinu?
Depends.
Lemaisa, it's even. Moshe Rabbeinu can't put a mezuzah up any better than I can put a mezuzah up, yeah? When it comes to Kavanah's a mitzvah, well, there's, you know, he's Moshe on me. Yeah, but when it comes to the actual kiyum of the mitzvah, that is the sadashava of all yidden. And that's what we're trying to get connected to. The other thing is a Tosefus. That's why by, we've said this loads of times, but by before Matan Torah, yeah, Yaakov put on tefillin, it said that the makalos, like the vines. You know that idea? No?
No.
Or Avram sat under the tree at Mamre, and that was Bechina Sukkah. Yeah? So the Bavitch Rebbe asked, like, why? He's sitting on a tree. Why is that sukkah? That's a pasul sukkah. Can't sit under a tree. It's mechubal lekarka. It's not, yeah, it's, you can't sit under a tree. But he was Makani. It says that the Avos did all 613 mitzvahs, yeah? But how can you be, Yaakov used vines. Try and be Makani mitzvahs to fill in with vines. Let me see you do that. Yeah, let me see any tzaddik. Yeah, try and be Makai in the mitzvahs with vines, yeah? This is why I don't understand the time aspect of the mitzvah, but that's, there's maybe an inyan of the Rabbanim, what you're saying about Rav Kook davening after Zman and stuff like tzaddik can do, yeah? I don't understand that. Just, I don't understand that. But before Matan Torah, yeah, there was no Zman tefillah, yeah? Just like there was no Shulchan Aruch in that he was doing mitzvahs, but there weren't, Shema hadn't been written yet. There wasn't Parshas, there weren't, etc. Yeah? So he did it with Kavana. So the Avos were Mekayim the mitzvahs, but Kavana. And then they did like a kind of Pa'ula Ba'alma, like a remez in the world of Maisa. The actual mitzvah, the Maisa of the mitzvah was just a remez. Shalom Aleichem. The Maisa mitzvah was just a remez to the Kavana, which was where the real mitzvah was. By Matan Torah, that flipped around the Gemara. That flipped around the gum rate. And what's the sim? What's the moshul for that? Is the snare and the mountain. The snare was lo necho, lo uchal. It wasn't consumed. Yeah? Whereas the mountain was boyer. It was mamash. The mountain was consumed by Matan Torah. By pre-Matan Torah, Hashem, so to speak, couldn't even burn up a bush. Yeah? My two-year-old kid could burn up a bush, yeah? So Hashem wasn't burning up a bush. After Matan Torah, the whole mountain was actually being consumed.
Of course he could burn up a bush. He
chose
not to burn up a bush.
Say it, it's the siman. But the siman is, so what do you learn from that? That is the visual. That,
yeah.
It's the visual. Yeah. It's the visual of what happened by Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, Hashem was not compatible with Olam HaMaisa. Okay, he chose it. Yeah, he does everything. Said, but the Lamaisa, he wasn't compatible with the world of Gashmias.
Maybe we weren't.
He was compatible. Huh?
Maybe we weren't compatible.
Wait. He was compatible with Kavana. He was compatible with the Kavana of the Avos, yeah, which is not Gashmias. Kavana is already Ruchnias. By Matan Torah, it says he was Yored Alaha. He came down, yeah, means that he, at that point, became compatible with Gashmias. And that's why the Maisa Mitzvah became Ikka and the Kavana became a Tosefes. A complete Hishafchus of reality, Mamash. A complete Hishafchus. And what allowed that to take place? What allowed that to take place? Huh? Avdus b'mitzrayim, where we became completely bottled to the point where now we came out and it wasn't about me serving God, it wasn't about the ruch, it wasn't about it. It was about the rebellion. That's by the way the oymek of what we call dira b'tachtoinim. That's what it means, dira b'tachtoinim. That he comes into the tachtoinim. Why not tachton? Why tachtonim? Is the riboy, the plural, the multiplicity of this world, yeah? He comes into it mamash. That's what happened at Matan Torah. Sorry.
No, I was just thinking about this whole concept. There's a machlok of mitzvot tzichot kavanah and mitzvot sheino tzichot kavanah, right?
But there's no machlokas about if you need the key and maisa.
Right, the key and maisa.
That's the point. There's no machlokas then.
Can't just sit there and think, "Oh, I'm wearing
tefillin
right now."
And you can't, I mean the example. We lost the chat anyway, so we'll go. We'll talk. We'll go with.
Can I take you back a minute. You said before that we're ready to understand that pleasure is not important.
Yeah. 100%.
So it's not important because you keep
saying... Not that it's not important. Not that it's not important. It's actually the tachlis of importance. Okay. But it's not important to you. It's important to him, Mizbuach. That you give him your pleasure. That you start eating on Shabbos. Not that you're trying to, like, with that, you know, and like the...
Yeah, it's like what you said. It's not about you being holy. It's about him being served, right?
It's about him being served. He tells you you need to have pleasure on Shabbos. He says you have to eat nice foods on Shabbos. He says you need to wear nice clothes on Shabbos. V'chule, yeah.
Okay.
Now you're doing that. So how do you show that you're doing that for him? Is the rest of the week cut down a little bit?
A couple of classes ago, you also said that pain sits on the same place where pleasure is. So how does that work out?
Because it's experience. That's experience. Experience is either... Experience can be one of two extremes. It can be pleasure or pain, and anything in the middle.
Right.
That's the whole point. It's experience. That's what that was the shelach of David HaMelech. Chai
v'kayam.
He was chai v'kayam. The kayam is kayam. But he brought the experience to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the avoider of this world. Is the Olam, the way I understand it, is the Olam Haba is when all of the Riboy is removed, and you are left as a binary.
All of the what? Riboy?
The multiple.
Had it added on.
Riboy, like numbers. All the multiplicity of this world, yeah? That goes. And you're left as a simple rotson. Are you for you or you're for him? Is your rotson for yourself? Yeah, that will get destroyed because that's not true. Understand? So the same light, again, we said this all over and over, that the same light that will destroy the Rishayim will heal the Tzadikim. That means that this illusion of the fact that you're something other than Hashem will be taken away. Now, if you're mamash, if a person is kulu other than Hashem, yeah, he's selfing himself, he's looking for his own, he's serving his own pleasure, yeah, he's chasing his own pleasure. Well, that's not real. So that light of Hashem that now comes out, that part of him just disappears. Now, if that's the roiv of who he is, yeah, something other than Hashem, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. It's not a feeling. It's displayed in your actions. Yeah? That if that's something other than Hashem, then when Hashem reveals himself, that just disappears. And if the person was kulu other than Hashem, meaning he's chasing his pleasure, and don't think that that means that he's in Tel Aviv, you know, with Arias and drugs. He could be chasing all kinds of pleasures. Mamash. He could be chasing all kinds of things that we call very, very holy, yeah? If he's doing that for his own pleasure and that he's the end unto himself, then that will get taken away. And that's, to the best of what I understand, that's called Gehenna, where you actually, or not even Gehenna, that's like Be'er Shachar, I don't know what it's called. It's when that just disappears. If a person is kulu that, then poof, he's gone. If a person is rubu toiv, yeah, he's basically in it for Hashem, and there's a shtickle, you know, there's a shtickle self, like, which is very normal, yeah, well then that ore will burn that away, and that's called healing the tzaddikim. You with me? That this illusion of the fact that you're something other than a boilin shloilim, and again, that's not like, it's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. Mm. I don't know what it is. You can't call it anything. But it's represented by your actions. Yeah, you want to know where you're holding? Well, it's a very good way of knowing where you're holding is your Avos Yisrael is really the ikar way of where you're holding. But if you want to know if you're, you know, another way of knowing where you're holding is when Zman Kriya Shema comes up. Yeah? And you drop everything to make sure you say Kriya Shema B'Zman. Why? Because Hashem's agenda is more real to you than your own agenda. Yeah? Whatever you're doing, you have a chiyuv to say, unless you're involved in another mitzvah. you're part of a mitzvah, whatever it is. But when the halacha comes to you so real that you put yourself second, yeah, that's it. Whether you feel like a big this or that, that's so secondary. I've met very elevated people who aren't very holy, put it that way.
Mm-hmm. On very. The flip side, the best people, on the flip side of that, the best people are sometimes the ones you really don't want to do. You're like,
sometimes.
It's like, yeah, you're just like, yeah, I don't want to do this at all. Yeah. I'm not feeling this at all, but
I'm good. And speak that out with Hashem. Yeah. Say to him, listen, my mom can't be bothered right now. You don't have to say it, he knows it. But you're like, you schlep yourself out, it's 12 o'clock at night, you forgot that you didn't daven. I've done that. That's happened. How many times that happened to everyone? Yeah? You get home, you're just getting into bed, and you're like, oh man,
you
forgot, didn't daven
Maariv.
You forgot
to say Maariv, and then you keep your pants on for a lane, that's always the test for me.
Yes, yeah, so there's always Madragas. There's always Madragas down. One of the test goes on and on. Wait, what? I missed the funny joke then. What did you say?
Yeah, when you finally slept through a marv that you're not really into, if you keep your pants on for
Exactly, that's what I said. Yeah, exactly. And then once you said that, then there'll be another test of like, are you going to say Kriya Shema now? Because you just said it.
Yeah, you're right,
you just said Kriya Shema. And it comes into your head, you know, I shouldn't really say it. No, man, go, leave me alone. Good night.
If you had a sheriff today, you see the Gemara and Brachas, Tamachal does not say it.
Is not what?
Tamachon doesn't have to say Krishna Abita.
Okay, was it?
Not
a Tamil Chochem. Not a Tamil Chochem. What do you mean? A Chosim?
No, the Gemara says.
He always does.
A Chosim. Gemara, I think.
You mean with Rabbeinu Kodesh? With Nasi when he.
No, I think if someone learns, it doesn't have to worry.
You're not part of from learning if you're Pasuk in a mitzvah.
Don't add more loopholes in it.
Let's say that. Either way, the point we hear what we're saying. Yeah, the real litmus test, the real litmus test to gauge where you're holding your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam is where you are with your Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. That's the real litmus test. If you can't appreciate that a human being is real, yeah. And you think that he just exists in context of you, then you've got no chance. Kal v'chomer, the invisible, silent creator, he's for sure going to be a dimyon. For sure. You can spend your whole life, you can spend many lifetimes, chas v'shalom, a person can spend many lifetimes serving a dimyon. Yeah, you think the person thinks he's serving Hashem. Yeah, let's see how where you're holding with other people.
You gotta be careful, that's kind of, it's pretty much your last name. Dimion.
What?
Dimion.
Oh, Dimion. That's interesting. Say that. So,
he's diamond, but you can call him Dimion.
One of the things where demon comes from Dimion.
Yeah? What?
Sounds like.
Say that. So, my real name is.
Dimion, you're giving me a harsh stare down there for a second.
Dimion of Hashem, could be.
Well, that's really what we're here to. We're here to be Makrin to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Is that Dimion? That Dimion himself. And that's what happened by the Eitz Hadas, is the Or Chaim says, he says it basically, but I saw it somewhere else where it said it explicitly. But I asked my Rav and he said the Or Chaim said it. But the when it said that Adam had bushes, yeah, and it was because of his nakedness, yeah. He had bushes b'shas ma'isa with Chava. Not that he had bushes of the fact that he was revealed. He had bushes for the fact that for the first time in history, which hadn't been that long, but for the first time in history, he experienced his own personal pleasure. And that's bushedik. The fact that there's another oineg, that's mamash. That bushes means, the bushes is, I always give the example, like when I'm in Chicago on Shabbos. Yeah, I'm in this big shul of, you know, Gevirim, who are all wearing like down hats or no hats, and here I am in my Strymon, yeah? I'm like the only Strymon in the whole place. You stick out. You feel embarrassed. You feel, you stick out. Another example is you see a Makuba with a white, wearing all white, with a little spaghetti stain on his top, yeah? How do you think the spaghetti stain feels? He's looking around, all he sees is white, he sees himself. That's embarrassing, yeah? that was the oymek of the Inyan by Gan Eden, the way I understand it, is that there was just Ratzon Hashem, there was just Hashem's oyneg, infinite oyneg, and now all of a sudden I'm having my own oyneg. That's like this infinite white, and now there's like a little spot of black, and I'm that spot of black. That's what we're here to fix. And that's why in our world right now, where we're the ones who are fixing that, why that's why we're called Ikvah the Mashiach, because the Ikvayim of the foot doesn't have any feeling. It's the most unfeeling part of the foot. And Adam, when he was buried, was put into his kever, folded up. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why it's called Ma'aseh Machpela, Lashon Kaful. Yeah, he was folded up. What does that mean? He was folded in half, which means his feet went up above his head. That's the inyan of that's the makom patish of creation, is that the lowest part ends up going beyond the feet. Your head, your forehead actually fits in. Your feet go above your head. We're the highest part of creation. Not that that's it's irrelevant, your highest, lowest. It's all irrelevant. But the avoider, our avoider now, is the ultimate ticket, is the ultimate... is the final hakrova, the final offering of that little spot of black that developed by Eitz Hadas, which is called our oneg, our own personal oneg.
It's more than just sticking out, though. I think it's receiving pleasure, unearned pleasure for free. Like, someone gets caught stealing. It's very embarrassing because they're taking something they didn't earn for free. Or if someone loses weight by doing liposuction, they don't tell anybody. But if they exercise, they tell everybody. They didn't work for it, they earned it. They get pleasure, someone like with masturbation. Nobody ever gets caught. Religious, not religious, Jew, not religious. It's very embarrassing. You're taking a pleasure that's not earned for free. It's not their pleasure.
I hear what you're saying, but the way I understand it is the real problem is not the pleasure. The real problem is the pleasure becomes an end unto itself. That's the problem. The pleasure being an end unto itself is another way of saying I've become an end unto myself. That's called Elohim Achayim. That's the point. See, pleasure, why do you do something for pleasure? Why do you like pleasure?
You just do.
It
feels good.
Why do you like feeling good? That's just the same. It's the same thing. Yeah. There's no reason to pleasure. So there's two reasons why we eat. You either eat for pleasure or you eat for koyach. Yeah? Koyach is a means to an end. Pleasure is an end unto itself. When you're eating for pleasure as an end unto itself and it's not Shabbos, yeah, it could be that you're clever and you need it for whatever. Just don't get complicated. Yeah? If your food is an end unto itself, what you're really saying is you're an end unto yourself. Not the food is an end unto itself. It's your pleasure, which is the shoresh of you, yeah, of the delusional you, the illusional you, has become an end unto itself. That's called Elohim Achirim. That only exists in this lowest world. There's no Elohim Achirim in higher worlds because the Rabbeinu Shlomo is too obvious there. So we are now in this situation where we've become so coarse. There's a better word.
Callous.
Exactly. We've become so callous to gashmi's pleasure because we've finished with it. Yeah, we're done. We've just had enough. Yeah. And Hashem has callous. It's not only calloused us to spiritual, but He's just taken spiritual pleasure away from us. Yeah, and it's getting more and more intense. You know. Go up to Shemayim and say to him, what did you do with Corona? We were trying, yeah, with the telephones and stuff. And all of a sudden, you push everyone deeper into the internet. And then you pick everyone now gets these phones and it gets better and and why are you doing that? Why are we, and it's just to go against it and be negative. There's a Tawela said, that's what Ramana said, is that, there's a beautiful way of finishing the shir, is it's called the iPhone, yeah? And you hear Bizli, you know, all this like with the I, yeah?
She iPhone said, is also an Osio's Neo.
Oh, yeah?
iPhone is Neo.
iPhone Neo. Yeah, very good, Square. So we can talk about that for a long time. What Ravmanis said was that this is all a hachona. It's all a hachona for when Hashem says, Ani Hashem. Because you've understood what God is.
Or maybe you've understood what God isn't.
No, kind of, yeah. You've understood what God is, meaning, what is God? God is everything. But you thought that you were everything. Mm. So now you have some kind of kesha with him. Mm. And then when he says, Ani Hashem, you'll be like, oh, wow, I thought I was God. Now I understand. I'm just part of it. Before that, before our door, there was only like, you know, three people in a generation who could feel like that because everybody was a serf to the, you know, but now everybody's become their own God. You know, listen to how people talk to Donald Trump, you know, little people talk to Donald Trump, the emperor of the world for all intents and purposes, yeah? They talk to him like he's like their little brother. It's unbelievable, you know? Why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem take away the year of the Malchus? He just took it away from us. And then he gave us incest. And he gave us pornography. And he gave us all the tithers in the world, like a chocolate bar, yeah? What would you do? What would you do 200 years ago? You have to climb a tree and pull down a beehive. Yeah, have a little taste of... Now you go to the shop and you got these fat kids, you know? So how do they do this? And not only is it... You got everyone telling you... And you know what I'm saying? It's like, what? Rabosha, leave me alone. It's all part of the thing. So we're now ready to finally let go of this whole dimion of it's about me. And we can finally serve God.
Make it more difficult?
It's not. It's irrelevant. It makes it possible. It's not possible
But it makes it more difficult a little bit also because you've already.
It's not. Well, that's only if you compare it to someone else. That's already not.
Not saying to surrender yourself to the iPhone. Like, it's all me.
Well, that's a hachana.
More difficult than what?
That's a hachana.
Not even having understanding.
That's not an option though.
Right.
Now this is what's happening. Exactly.
More
right,
so
I guess the further you go, the closer you are. Also,
but now we have the option. We have the opportunity now to learn this deeply and to mamash become it, and not have to wait for him to say Ani Hashem. Just get over it. Like we've said over and over, it's so simple to start. Like take one tissue, like you love, yeah. Start making promise and do it. Stop pandering to yourself. The minute you don't feel like something, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't feel like it. I've got to send this email. I don't feel like it. Shut up and do it. Who cares what you feel like?
Tough love.
Just, no, seriously, like, why is it so important how you feel? Do it. Get a hold of yourself, yeah? And then start going Vita and start leaving, you know start thinking. I was saying this last night. We said this, but we'll finish on this because this is really funny, but really a big thing, yeah? Don't pee in a swimming pool.
Don't?
Pee in a swimming pool.
Don't go to the bathroom.
Don't go to the bathroom. That's what. Yeah, but you don't think. Don't go to the bathroom.
Unless you want to read a book while you swim down on the pool. If you want to read a book in the pool, then
you should go to the bathroom while swimming.
At least while you're swimming in it. If other people are swimming in it as well.
This is the point. This is the point. What this is doing by being mucking on something, and again, don't turn it into your thing. Because the minute you turn it into your thing, then you fell out of the frying pan into the fire. You've started to, I'm now the guy who doesn't pee in the swimming pool. I bet you pee in the swimming pool. But I'm, and that doesn't mean you're saying anything, you're just sitting there quietly thinking of how hoshev you are, yeah? That's what we're talking about. We're just talking about the fact there that you need to go to the bathroom, you're in a swimming pool, and you know that no one is ever going to know about this, yeah? But if the guy next to you turned around and said to you, Shmuel, do you mind if I just go to the bathroom quickly in the pool? It'd be like, I'd rather you didn't. Yeah? You'd say that. Yeah? That's now building your appreciating another's muscles. And that's why I think that the kids, the first thing they learn is Eilei Metzius. Why is that the first thing the kid learns? Take care of a person you don't know about. A yid by death, by teva, who comes from Klipas Noiga, appreciates other human beings. That's the ikka difference between Umos Olam and Am Yisrael. Yeah, the Am Yisrael have a natural ability to appreciate the Metzias of another person. But there's a next Madrega, is appreciating the Metzias of a person you don't know. Like we said, like when you park a car, you ever got to a parking space, yeah, and a guy parked in two spots? That's really annoying, yeah? But you know that if you want to leave that spot behind you, you're going to have to get quite close to the guy in front of you. And if a guy squeezes in, that's going to, you have to do a bit of this, yeah? That's really Heilig. That's more Heilig than do you know what I'm saying?
Return your shotgun parts.
Write a mass. I actually have a massive list of all these things. Yeah, right. Exactly. All of these things are hailing. It's like we want to go to these. We want to have these experiences where we merge into the infinite oneness. And I've had these experiences. I understand why they're attractive. I do appreciate them. Yeah, and they can have a good. They can have an amazing tawellus as well. But don't forget that you have the ability to get holier every single second. Yeah. By washing. Is that these dirty tissues from your nose? Yeah, so they should go into your pocket. You just got a little bit holier when you were about, sorry to call you on this, but it's the toilet. So are you okay with that? And everyone does this. Everyone does this. But if you can develop a sensitivity to this idea, like I don't want somebody's dirty tissue on my. But like, look, you see this here. This is a nice example, yeah. That's I don't want to mess up. It didn't. Nothing happened. But sometimes it makes a little bit of a thing on a tablecloth. Yeah, so I put that there because I don't want to chat. That's my whole life is just on every level. I'm thinking that way. That's how you get holier.
One paper towel.
What? All of these things. We've talked about this all. It's just so practical and it's available to you every single way, especially if you're married, yeah? Now you can go into overdrive on how to...
They don't see
it. Even bigger. When you pass somebody's trash in your binion, if you live in a building in Israel, yeah? Pass someone's trash. Take it out.
What if your neighbor...
Yeah, there's a lot of what ifs.
Stop. Yeah. Okay, there's a diamond ring in there.
Yeah, it's going to sue you.
And you're the one that threw that.
You still did
we'll
the
right. Shit up for your kids. You'll get
shit
up for your kids now. You're right. Good
boy. I'll tell you a real conundrum that I have now. Yeah, that I've done is I always try and fill up the Nagelwasser. Once I've finished, I try and fill up for the next person. Yeah, in the community that I live in, and when I daven by Shimon Tzadik, whatever, I've seen a few times I've filled up the Nagelwasser. The guy comes, pours it out, and then refills it.
Why is he doing
it? Because the Indian of my Magulim, whatever it is.
They think that you tell me water. Telling it, and it's not. They don't know
what
the water is.
Yeah, or they think.
Put their hand in it. They don't know.
Yeah. So either way, so there must be for whatever Indian. Yeah. Now I was in a big conundrum.
You did what you could do.
No, I caused him now. I caused him the annoyance of having to pour it out and then pour it back. You don't drive yourself nuts at again. You have to be.
What you did when unappreciated, not just that, it got thrown out. What you did.
So I was like in my mind.
Now you're angry.
It happened to me a bunch of times.
Can I say something? It's not the thing. Is it's not about you. It's about other people.
This is exactly the point. Thank you. Right. That's the point. Exactly what we're trying to get to. That's the point. That's the point.
Shkoyach.
Okay. Next week we'll do chapter 8.
It's very cool.